Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman, and you are listening to Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee. Now in 6 countries with over 14,000 listeners. And here he is, my friend, Professor Gary Lee.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. Welcome to Parts Unknown with your host, Professor Gary Lee. Now, I'm excited always to be able to be in your home on a Tuesday night. And we've done that now for almost 10 years, but we couldn't have done it without our producer. And I would like to bring him on now to share with him what he experienced this past weekend up at the Tropicana. Hunty Jesse Bowen, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
How are you, sir? How is North Carolina?
Recovering.
Well, tell me about the Tropicana. You did a lot of
stuff. Oh, man.
You got the women, and you wore our jacket. Did you have a good time?
I did, sir. It was, like I said, from the Thursday until I left, it was pretty much wide open, a great event. Of course, you know, Sifu, you know, he puts on the, you know, the glamour event, you know, much to learn from him. But, no, it was a great event. You know, there on Friday night, we you know, of course, the expo started on Friday. And then we had the wine and cheese, which happened on Friday evening. And we presented the women's awards at then. And then on Saturday evening, we actually presented them with a lifetime membership to the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation. And we gave them a black belt, 2023 Women's Martial Arts Hall of Honor's black belt. It was great. You know, I received induction into the Spartan Hall of Fame out of Italy. So, you know, I had a great weekend. Our book hit number one internationally in 71 categories. So, you know, we had a great weekend. And,
wow.
You know, it's just a lot of really great things going on. You know, I'm really proud of my team and the people at Elite. Really, you know, again, it was a great event. And we're launching the Cynthia Rothrock Scholarship Award, and where we will present 10 scholarships, educational scholarships, to young ladies that are martial artists that are participating in sport karate. And so we're planning on launching that this year. So it's just really great. And, you know, trying to give back,
well,
and trying to provide some inspiration.
One thing I got to ask. That jacket.
What's that?
Saturday night. That was an incredible looking jacket.
Wow. I started to take it off and walk around with no jacket on. It seems like everybody else there thought it was too.
No, it was unique. Now, if you do something for the women, scholarships or whatever, if you want to use the platform of October, you're welcome to. We can talk about it. I mean, I want to help whatever you're doing as much as I can, and I want to thank you publicly and to the world what you've done for the Sport Karate Museum and the publicity that you brought to it. I want to thank you so much. You're one of the best. You're one of the good guys. So anyway,
well, I appreciate
you take care.
It, sir.
You take care, and thank you, sir. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right, so be blessed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Hunty Jesse Bowen, the producer of Parts Unknown, and allows me to be able to be in your homes on Tuesday night. Now, I have, before I introduce my special guest tonight, I have two incredible men, me and Lon Weekly. And they're really cool guys. The first one I want to introduce to you has been with me from the very beginning. Now, the great Joe Louis allowed me to adopt him from him before he left our moment in life. And I did. So he's been my student for over 10 years now. He's an amazing man. And I'm not bragging, but I'm going to make it clear what's so cool. He's won over 40 world championships in point karate through the NBL and the NASCAR Karate Leagues. I mean, he's so well-rounded. He took his daughters to AGT and performed on America's Got Talent in front of the world. This guy is an incredible man, and he's on our show as a co-host. I want to bring on Mr. Dean Piles. Dean!
Shio Nagata! Arusinawati! Usante Arashwiti!
You just came from Alan Goldberg's event. How was it?
Oh, it was great. We signed tons of autographs. I even had people come just to bring me stuff. I had people, bring me stuff from the Twin Towers just because of the work we do. So they brought me an American flag from the Twin Tower Memorial there in New York. We had people coming from all over, coming by our booth. We gave two seminars. Matter of fact, even in Mr. Goldberg's event right at the end, when they were calling people up, I was one of the first groups that they called up. They mentioned our seminars because everyone was talking about the seminars we done with the tactical combative seminars. We had more people in our seminars than anybody. So we're glad to have that.
Cool. I know you received an award from Mr. Goldberg to give to the Sport Karate Museum, and we want to thank him seriously for what he does. And I'm gonna bring on AJ real quick, but don't go nowhere because we got to do something special in a minute. AJ, you there, buddy?
I'm here. How are you?
Let me introduce you. My other co-host, Keith Niemann, and he's a great friend of the Sport Karate Museum. In fact, he's a spokesman for the military advisors that we do. He's from Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and I don't hold that against him, but I'm going to tell you that he's a great guy. And I don't
better now, you competed a lot in Cleveland.
Anyway, I don't use the word master or grandmaster very often, but I use it in front of this man because he's ambassador in Tang Soo Do Korean Karate. I'm talking about Mr. AJ Perry, who always interrupts me. Hey, AJ, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you for a nice introduction. That's my job, Gary.
Well, listen, I brought you on because I want Dean on the air, too, to listen to you guys together. We have to make a shout-out to someone who's going to heart surgery tomorrow. He's a part of the family of the Sport Karate Museum. He is a co-producer this year for the Super Avengers show in October. And together, guys, let's give a big Marine hoorah to our friend Patrick Paris Kelly, who's listening right now on three. Dean, AJ, you ready?
I'm always ready.
Okay, on three. A hoorah. One, two, three. Hoorah! Hoorah!
Hoorah!
I got to teach you guys how to hoorah. You got to get that, and that's why I sound like I've been screaming all day long.
God bless
you,
Paris. You're a good friend, and I wish you a lot of luck. God bless, my brother. Semper Fi.
We'll talk to you in a few days after your surgery, and God bless you, Paris. We love you, buddy. We love you. So anyway, that's my two co-hosts that deal with me weekly. God bless them, Dean Piles and A.J. Perry, Master A.J. Perry. Now, my special guest tonight is very special. One, because she's a lady. Two, because she's a first. And we'll talk about it. And I want to bring on Miss Kim Blake. Or is it Mrs. Kim? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Okay, is it Mrs. Kim Blake or Ms. Kim Blake?
It's Mrs.
Okay. May I call you Kim?
Yes, you may. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, Kim, now I mentioned that you're first in something. Explain to my listeners what you are first in.
First of all, I'd like to thank God for it. It was one of those things that consistency was the key. I am the first female Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt in the state of Oklahoma. And that took a minute to sink in. At the time when I was receiving my black belt, not sink in.
Also trained with one of my friends, Del Apollo Cook, one of the premier kickboxers back in the 80s. Now, did you make black belt under Del?
I am a fifth-degree black belt in karate under Dale. In the 80s, we didn't move to Tulsa until 1999. So I missed the whole hoorah, his fight career.
Yeah. Now, you also have a pretty famous son, Randy Blake. Now, he was a fighter in the WCL, and that was a big deal. That was Chuck Norris's group. And now, were you a fighter or a kata person? Now you knew jiu-jitsu, but did you ever do kata and fight and point karate?
I did both, but I liked the fighting better. I don't know why. It doesn't fit when you see me. It doesn't fit my face, but I enjoyed the fighting better. But I did kata as well.
Ma'am.
I'm good at it, but I did katas.
Now, the neat thing about you, too, is that, and I say this out of the deepest respect, you didn't start until you were like 42 years old. Is that correct?
Oh, that is definitely correct. When I wanted to start was at the age of 13, and my dad told me to young lady do combative sports. So I listened. I was always an athlete, so I did some other athletes. I went to college, did some athletics there. I met my BFF while going to college. Then I had kids, and when Randy was about 5 or 6 years old, we bought him a boxing bag, and I got to live vicariously through him and my other until they got their black belts, and Randy was drive, and I had to step aside until it arose again. But that's how that got started.
Ma'am. Now, you're going to be having a book that's being published by Brendan Hansen Gessimoa, Elite Publications, and we're going to try to have it by October so you can have a booth with your great son, Randy Blake, and you guys have your books together. Now, I wanted to ask you, last year, you got to experience the Legends Sport Crime Museum event. Did you meet a lot of friends? Did you have a good time?
Oh my goodness. Last year was amazing because it started out in Vegas, where I got to meet some legends. With Hanshi Bowen. Then I got to go to another Legends meeting in October with your event. And it was just amazing. It's like, because I started so late in my life, I don't know how to explain it, but it's I don't know if you've seen movies where all of a sudden, someone's being chased and they end up being on stage as the show is going on. That's the best way I can explain my career with starting so late, stepping onto the stage with some greats. And it's just an amazing feeling.
Well,
just to
we're
see
excited to honor you and the ladies this year with the roast of Karen Eden Herbert October the 7th, and we're excited about having your booth and to debut your book and to help you any way we can. And, you know, I don't want you to go anywhere, okay? We're going to bring you back. We're going to play the Legends Name Game, and this is where I'll say a name to you, Kim, and you'll get to talk about them as best you will. If you don't know them, that's cool. You might know their reputation, but I'm going to let you talk about Randy a little bit. How about that? But anyway, don't go anywhere. I'll bring you right back, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Mrs. Kim Blake, you know, an amazing lady that is a big part of the Sport Crime Museum now, and we'll be featuring her book and her son's book at the Sport Crime Museum Super Show that we're doing in October 6th and 7th in Houston, Texas. And for more details, you can call 713-483-0476. If you want to know more about the Sport Crime Museum, you can go to www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com, and it will explain to you about the history and the idea we have of educating sport karate to the world. So now I'd like to do something very special. I have a segment or segments that we do on this show, and it's a lot of fun, and it brings America to this broadcast. And we're going to start off with the lady of our group. And, you know, she's an amazing lady. She is a champion. She's actually a PKL champion. And she trains in Shaolin Karate and trains in Kung Fu. She's actually an A3 black belt underneath the Sport Karate Museum History Journals. And she's very, very opinionated. But she keeps me in mind. I want to bring on from North Carolina, Miss Karen Schlatcher. Karen, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm here.
Aloha. How are you doing tonight?
I'm so blessed. I can't stand it. How are you?
Well, I'm good because I got all you guys on the air together. So here we go. Here's your question. How do you feel? How do you feel, Karen, the general public perception of the martial arts has changed over the years since it was introduced to America in the 60s?
Yeah, that's a heavy question because perception and reality often aren't the same. But I would say that it has, the perception of martial arts has smoothed over to where it's not regarded as a killing art anymore. In many circles, there are some. There's always the old schoolers out there, but I know that it's part of a lot of kids growing up. They take karate for 2 or 3 years, and then they go on to something else. And hey, I'm sure the dojo people love that, but you don't have a group of kids that can take care of themselves very well. Most of them, you know, self defense is a division, not a life art. When you go into the gaming, everything is martial arts one way or another, and it's captured the attention of everybody in all of the games. And look at Set VR. People love it. They understand it. They're anxious to learn it. But the old school, the traditions, and the history, nah. It's not held in high regard, at least in my circles that I know, the kids coming up, and a lot of the parents, too. They think of it as a good exercise.
Well, you know, Karen, part of the five of you guys I put together, you know, I bring on special guests. And one of the special guests I'll bring on is a special man because he's doing the Action Martial Art Film Festival in October. Now, here what's really cool is we didn't expect all of our friends who came from sport karate, like James Wu and Jeff Amata and John Bolero, whoever, to be in the movies. So I want to bring him on right now. Leo, are you there? Leo.
Yes, sir.
Well, Leo, okay, I've got you on the air right now, Leo, because we're talking about, we're talking to the five, and we brought up the idea about the movie guys, like Billy Blanks and other people, Don Wilson, Cynthia, who got involved with the movies. Now, what are you doing in October? And you're part of the vendors show also in October.
I mean,
but what are you doing
talking.
For the sports car in October?
Well, for the very first time in the U.S., we're doing a film festival that's focused strictly on martial arts movies.
Wow. Now, who are some of our friends committed to come?
We're going to be having live appearances from Cynthia Rothrock, Grandmaster Eric Lee, Don the Dragon Wilson, Billy Blanks, Gerald Okamura, Karen, Grandmaster Karen Shepherd, James Liu, and we're in the process of working out details with Michael Jai White, and we've got a couple other bigger names that I can't really mention right now, but have been invited, and it looks pretty good.
Well, super. And, you know, like I said, we didn't expect the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Sidekicks and Chuck Norris and all these incredible movie guys. They're doing movies now that came from Sport Karate. So we're looking forward to the event. Now, you postponed to October what?
This all tastes good.
October 19th to the 22nd.
Super. Well, you're also going to be at the Vendor Super Show in Houston October the 6th and 7th with your booth. So if anybody wants to go to Scottsdale, Arizona and participate, they'll be able to talk to you directly. And
absolutely. I will be there both days. Yes, sir.
Now, tell my listeners what you're doing for the Sport Karate Museum through your event.
Well, as part of, you know, our partnership, because I really appreciate everything you've done to preserve the history of sport karate and, you know, karate martial artists, for people who buy an all-access pass using the code SKM, that's Sport Karate Museum, SKM, we're going to donate $50 back to the museum for every one of those all-access passes purchased.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Karen, you still there, honey? Karen?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Isn't that cool about how the movies are participating and we got Leo's group involved and we got all our old friends, you know, Don and Cynthia and Gerald and all the great guys, Eric.
The backbone,
so it's so cool that the movies. You know the other thing, Karen, that I think about that involved the different perceptions is, besides not being dangerous anymore, is business. I remember when I first moved to Houston, there was only 10 karate schools in the Houston area. And, you know, now there's over 100. Think about that.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to move right along. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Leo.
Oh, you're so
God
welcome.
God bless you guys.
God bless you too, Gary.
You bet. Now, I want to just make a suggestion, please. If you're not talking, please mute your phone so that we are your instrument that you're using so we don't pick up any background noises. And I appreciate that. So I want to bring on my I want to bring on AJ. AJ, you there?
Yeah. How are you?
Tell me your perception of how you feel the martial arts has changed over the 7 decades that we've been involved.
Well, it's kind of funny, you know, people are speaking about, you know, how martial arts has gone into film and television, but a lot of people don't realize martial art was actually introduced in film back in the 1930s with Peter Lorre as Mr. Moto. And
yes,
he wasn't even a martial artist to speak of, but it was introduced. And, you know, so it had a grip, you know, 10 years after Grandmaster Funakoshi, you know, introduced it to America and Japan. Americans blubberize everything. And I hate to say it that way, but they do. And back in the 60s, pretty much, and right after Grandmaster Trias introduced, you know, karate to America, it took its foothold. But judo was the biggest martial art up until Grandmaster Trias brought it in. But
I think it was 1946 when he introduced
46 when he started, right,
America. Yeah, 46.
And then, long story short, not to get long-winded because I know you're short on time, they blubberize it. And
yeah,
tournaments were started, and then people started sensationalizing everything. And then in the late 1980s, early 1990s, Hall of Fame started, and then these big egos started, and it's
well,
really,
you know,
been,
that's a whole different show, my brother.
Well,
that's
no. It has to do with it, and this has, you know, not only my opinion, but what has happened to martial art in America. Okay,
I know. I'm just saying, honey. That's like a whole different show.
No. Hang on, Gary. Let me finish. Okay, and it's not a different show. Martial arts has been blubberized in America. And this is not only my opinion, because I'm an American, I got my opinion, but parents, young Americans right now, they really don't understand what martial arts is really about. They see what's
right.
going on television, on cable, MMA, and it's really been sensationalized, where actually there's a big reverence in traditional martial art is what it really stands for. And when it comes down to it, per se,
right.
martial art is about self-improvement, period.
Yeah.
And it hasn't,
well, you know, nothing,
it hasn't
martial
been.
Martial art wasn't intended to be a business, but that's what America is taking it to,
right.
too.
But
not only
martial art in a whole, sound deep, is about shut up, Gary. Let me finish. It's about self-improvement. And
there you go again. Shut up.
There you go.
We're done.
There you go.
We're done, AJ. We're done. We're done.
It's about self-improvement.
Done. Ladies and gentlemen, that was AJ Perry, my buddy from Cleveland, Ohio.
Love you, Gary.
Right along now with the five. Now, these people that I put together, they are opinionated, but they're very well knowledgeable in American martial arts and the creativity of American martial arts. This next man, I'm so honored to be able to introduce him, and I will make sure you got it on the air. Uncle Jerry, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the
Uncle Jerry.
This is the co-founder of the largest black karate federation in America. In fact, the only one. He is also the president of the Black Karate Federation. He worked at Black Belt Magazine back in the days when people like Joe Louis, Bruce Lee, and Chuck Norris walked the hallways. And you know what's really cool about this man? He's from Las Vegas. He is an icon. He trained champions. He was directly under the great Joe Louis. He's a Marine. But what's really cool about him, all that's really cool. What was really cool about him is that He was the personal bodyguard of Ringo Starr of the Beatles. That's what I love about him. I want to bring on my Uncle Jerry Smith. Jerry Smith, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, you know, I had to cut off AJ because he's telling me to shut up. So I want to ask you, okay, the question, and I'm interested in what you have to say. Here we go. Jerry Smith, how do you feel the general public's perception of the martial arts has changed over the years since you guys introduced it back in the 60s?
Well, Gary, it has exploded. Now, let me explain. I got a lot to cover here, so I'm going to move kind of fast. One of the big differences, and I'm going to have a lot of, I'll be sure, in comparison. For instance, the UFC, what they did is they invested into mixed martial art. They have performance labs in China, here in Las Vegas, in Dubai, also Abu Dhabi, and they're planning on opening one in, I hope I said China as well. There is one in China, and they're thinking about opening one in Africa. Now, let me explain how this works. Once you sign a contract for the UFC, the perks that you get are literally off the charts. For instance, first of all, you have these performance labs. All of your insurance is taken care of. If you get hurt, it's taken care of. Boxing doesn't have that. The UFC is a multi-billion dollar industry now. And the fighters get medical. They get the best training. Once you go to a performance lab after you've been picked up by the UFC, you can literally come to Las Vegas, have the best training that you can possibly have from some of the best. Everything is taken care of, your diet, everything, your training, if you choose to come and do it. Boxing doesn't do that. A perfect comparison is when a UFC fighter actually fights, if he knocks his opponent out, he gets a performance, like a knockout of the night, he gets an extra $50,000. If he chokes or submits an opponent, he gets a $50,000. Not every fighter, but they get so many per night. And yeah. if he submits. Now, what's interesting is if you look at what boxers have made over the years and what the UFC fighters have made, you look at like a Chuck Liddell that is worth $14 million. The great Muhammad Ali is only worth $8 million. And Muhammad Ali fought a lot more times than Chuck Liddell ever did.
Yeah.
Michael Bigstein, $9 million. So my point is that the UFC invested in their fighters, it's an explosion every week on CNN, CNN Plus. No, that's cable. But there are fights every week, full contact fights, and it's just a completely different. You're talking about a multi-billion dollar. Conor McGregor is worth $110 million. Muhammad Ali, when he died, was worth $8 million. You know, what's wrong with that picture? It means that boxing was controlled by some very bad people and they didn't, no one invests. If a fighter fights, he gets up usually bad promotion. So one reason why it's so big is because of the investing back into mixed martial arts.
Well, we appreciate your attitude, your perception, and it really, you brought a lot to the table tonight to people who are listening about the difference of boxing and sport karate. So anyway, we're gonna be roasting you. We're gonna be sharing your tribute in October 6th on Friday night in Houston, Texas. How do you feel about that, Jerry Smith?
I am excited about it, of course. I can't wait
excited about our
I really want to meet the Wolverine, and I'm really looking forward to meeting AJ.
Well, you're gonna be in a boat. So we're moving right along now with five. Thank you, Jerry Smith. Thank you so much.
Hey,
now,
Jerry.
This next man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jerry. You know why I told Gary to shut up is because he interrupted me.
Okay.
This is Wolverine. I'll just say this. This is Professor's show, so I better not ever hear anybody else tell Professor to shut up on this show again.
Relax.
So I hope everybody rogers that, picking or not picking. Professor's show.
Relax.
That don't need to be going on.
We're all having fun. We're all having fun.
AJ, I love you. Let's move right. Let's move along. Here we go.
We're having fun.
AJ, you're talking over me. Over the years, I had an idea about putting people together all across America and having their opinions, and that's what the five is. You've heard from AJ. You've heard from the great Jerry Smith. You've heard from Karen Slatcher. Now you're going to be hearing from Oregon, and you say, who's in Oregon? Well, my web designer of the Sport Karate Museum, a 10th degree black belt, a professor, one of the smartest men I've ever met. He's also a protege of the great Jerry Smith, along with training with other great masters throughout his career. I want to bring on my web designer, my dear friend, Mr. Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, you there?
Yes, thank you very much, Gary. I appreciate that.
We got a barn burner of a show tonight, but I wanted to ask you, buddy, what is your perception of the change that America's gone through the years, Tom?
Okay, well, let's go down memory lane. I can remember that karate in 1961 was so new and unknown that the joke, karate, isn't that something with egg roll, right? Was a common thing I heard all the time. I remember hearing people say Shotokan meant the killing art. A few dojos around back then were judo dojos, just like AJ was talking about. And more often than not, that's where you might find the first generations of the karate instructors coming back and squeezing their classes in off hours at a judo dojo in your neighborhood. It was at John Ogden's judo dojo that on Saturdays I discovered Mr. Oshima and Kayla Atkins teaching after my judo practice. And I had been working out with a friend of mine's cousin who had just returned from Sasebo, Japan while he was in the Navy and had practiced the killing art, JKA Shotokan, in 1961 when I started with him. I haunted any and all dojos within distance that I could cover with my Stingray bike, although more often than not I was told that they didn't teach kids under 16 of age, so don't bother. All this led to mystical heights of imagination as to what karate really was, killing full-grown bulls with their bare hands, destroying piles of boards and roofing tiles into rubble, extinguishing flaming candle wicks with speed and focus of controlled strikes. Karate black belts, a rare commodity back then, was compared to two-legged Vegematics in a fight, if you remember you know, if you're old enough to remember what a Vegematic was, the little handy-dandy kitchen utensil. So supposedly they could mow down armies.
Hey, you're talking
huggers,
to the
bullies.
You're talking to the Hawaiian ninja, Tom.
Yeah. Whereas back in the 60s and 70s, schools existed in little cubbies and back rooms of tiny novelty shops sometimes, and classes in the YMCA and the boys' club schedules. I even recall a very rough and tumble dojo in the back of a licorice pizza record shop in a part of town that the local pizza parlor wouldn't even deliver to, because that shop was located in their delivery map in an area that had a skull and crossbones, because they had had so many troubles with their guys being mugged and having their money and pizza stolen. Yeah. You know, not something you'd expect to see in this day and age in strip malls and places where dojos, you know, are and beautiful setups. Today, the dojo and the big, beautiful showcases of physical skill and colorful uniforms with an assortment of patches that would rival a championship NASCAR race car. Business models and advertising have ruled in these fine establishments, which in this economy requires it to survive in the marketplace. Young people are not only allowed to attend, but are crucial to the dojo's success. Families train together rather than the lone wolf for this gi folded and thrown over his shoulder, grasped by his tattered obi, you know, that holds it all together walking down the street. Today you may choose from many schools that you'll find on your phone or on your computer or on the internet, where back in the old days that I remember, you know, you sat watching the porch in hopes that somebody would throw the newest phone book to find out what new schools had opened since last year. Things have changed, yet nothing.
Well,
sometimes,
you know what? You know what, Tom? Just listening to what you just said, I can tell you put a lot of research and attitude toward your talk. And you know what? You're doing something very special on the webpage. And we got a few minutes. You got a couple minutes. But tell our listeners what you've done. You've added some pages and some information. Go ahead. You got
Well, one of the things we've added to the pages is we now have an international combat arts page. And on that, we're going to be putting on things that are some of the more unique things that are out in the martial arts world, besides our usual karate themes and things that most people are familiar with, a lot more familiar with. And the very first thing we're highlighting on that page is the Doyle stick fighting system from Ireland. We've already had John Border and his co-coach, his fiance Trish, and our last week's show, and they're going to be on a couple more times between now and October, where they're going to actually be with us and have a booth so you can actually talk to them, learn about everything that they're doing, and they're going to give a seminar. Not only that, but I want to let you know that come March and St. Patrick's Day, the Tuesday show is going to be headlined as far as guests by the Grandmaster, or the what we call as the Chieftain of the Doyle system in Leitrim, Ireland. He is going to be contacting.
Wow.
He's got to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning there to be able to do the show. But he will come on the show, and you'll be able to talk to this incredible gentleman that I take lessons with on Zoom and stuff.
That's
so it's
exciting.
Really exciting. I mean, we're plumbing into new places.
See, Tom, I get to see you and your lovely wife in October too. You're a guest speaker.
Oh yes.
So God
bless
you, Tom. God bless you, buddy, for all the work you do for the museum and your heart and your attitude and your passion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Professor Tom Spellman from Oregon. Now let's bounce back down to Texas. I want to introduce this man. David, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, David, let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've known this man literally since he was an orange belt in karate. Now, that was a long time ago, because now he is a major black belt. He is the president of the largest sport karate association in Texas, better known as the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate. Now, it was established in the early 80s. He is now the president, and we have worked together for many years. And I'm honored that I get to put him on the show every week. But you know what? All that is cool. But you know what? What's really cool about him is he has won the Golden Greek, the MVP of Texas, over 5 times. Now, one of these days, he's going to tell me exactly how many. But I know I lost count after 5. But here's the thing. It took me 17 years to win one. So I'm excited by having him on the air. And we call him DE for short. DE, there.
I'm all here.
Hey, buddy. You know,
yes,
I get excited about introducing you every week because I have watched you grow up. I have watched you become who you become, the president of the AOK. But here's a question tonight, DE. How do you feel the general public perceptions of the martial arts through the years, through the 7 decades that we've been here in America, has changed over the years?
There have been some drastic changes. When they first came to America, in a sense of I'm seeing martial art, I'm it was more mystical. But you know, what is that? That's for somebody else. We don't know that. That's for somebody else. They do it. Somebody else know it. And, oh, they might show us some of it. They went from an adult activity to, you know, mostly males, mostly. But the bigger part of it was a way of life. It was viewed as a way of life. It was viewed that this would teach you how to be a better person, how to have a better life, how to recognize the things that are important, how to respect the things that matters the most. It was designed and brought in and viewed as this will make you better. So let's stop doing the way of living the way we're currently doing, and let's live a different way. And let's live the way of the martial arts. Let's live the way of people who in tune with the day-to-day life, in tune with the world, in tune with the earth. That's what was going on at that time. It then
amen.
Was going through.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Well,
just say amen, Mr. Chambers.
Yeah. I mean, that was a life-changing moment. You got into it, you changed. You became a different person. You was, you know, you started. They say, hey, this kid, no, he just out of hand. Well, or this man, he's out of hand. He's doing the wrong thing. Well, let's put him in this program, and then he become better. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Today is a business. Today, it's like Christmas. Nowadays just a marketing firm. I spoke to a guy that I pay close to $1,000 a month to show me how to run a business.
Yeah.
they get better. People get better in it. But now is, well, let me show you how I can actually upgrade you to this program. Let me show you how I can, go to a tournament, a competition. You know, right now we had one of the best classes we had in a while. Why? Because they're all winners. They're not winning at you know, better life. They're doing okay with that, but they focus on, I just won the state championship a month ago. I just, school was the number one school for a winning state. Our kids just won, two of them won a world championship. That focus, winning a world championship is good in a sense. It is good in a sense. And I'm thankful for the times I've won. But that's a different perception now. You know, when it was initiated, it wasn't about winning a trophy or winning a world title. It was about lifestyle. And that's the perception, and that's also the reality of it.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, D. And thank you so much for your opinion on that. And now this weekend, aren't we doing the Prince Simon benefit tournament, correct?
That is so true. We are blessed that we are right about to our goal. We want to raise $10,000 to give away, and we are right at that goal. I'm asking anybody else who want to donate to make to assure us to reach that goal. We are going to the AOK has agreed to pay for the event in totality. So the funds that we raise will then go toward scholarship for kids and sponsorship for AOK team. But the majority
at the Super Vendor Show that we're doing in Houston, that the AOK will have a booth and we'll be raising money for scholarships in October 6th and 7th in Houston, Texas. So, D.E., thank you so much for who you are and what you do. It means so much, buddy. I got to move right along here. Now, this next man, he's part of the five. We're going to bounce back up to Las Vegas. And he is an H3 Bubba, and he's a museum, and a Korean stylist. I want to bring on Mr. James Moore. James, Uncle Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am, Uncle Gary. I'm here.
We got a great show tonight going on, but I want you to share with your perception how the martial arts has changed over the decades, you feel.
Well, first of all, I was going to say that I no pun intended, I get a kick out of Professor Gary and AJ getting into it on the show. I can tell your listeners that these are two of the most high-quality human beings you'll ever find, and it's a privilege and honor to be associated with them.
Oh, we love each other.
We have a lot of fun together. He's one of my best friends.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if he does interrupt me.
I agree with everything David said about being a better person. And to me, earlier on, the perception of martial arts were more about fighting, self-defense, self-protection. A black belt was considered a real bad, you know what, a real bad, you know what. And today it's arguably more about exercise for health or sport with peripheral benefits of self-defense or self-protection. And as I get older, the more and more I appreciate and respect the health benefits of martial arts. They're really, really terrific. Yeah. Today's marketplace is much about kids. Adults want their kids to gain more discipline and self-confidence. Those are the two common themes that adults really want with kids. Several have mentioned the popularity of various martial arts changes over time. Today, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, MMA, Krav Maga are certainly very popular. And the question I asked myself is, well, what's next? And I'm starting to see a trend toward a view of martial arts is really more different than people used to think from self-defense or self-protection. Certainly being well-trained in martial arts is a real benefit to saving one's life. But I think there are arguably some differences in the skill set one might employ in a life or death situation. And I think people are starting to recognize that more and more. As an aside, I am not a fan of the term self-defense because I think if you truly are in a life or death situation, you can't think defensively. You got to think more offensively. But that's a topic for another discussion.
To conclude my remarks. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, no, he's not done, Gary. Let him finish.
Shut up, AJ.
No, I was just going to say that.
Shut up, AJ.
Okay, I'll shut up and let him finish.
Just to conclude, I personally, at my age, I'm being viewed more and more as a target for a predator. So I'm personally more focused on the self-defense or self-protection at this point, although I certainly continue my martial arts training.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Uncle Jim. Thank you so much for your opinion. And shut up, AJ. Okay. Anyway, I want to move right along.
Do you hear that,
that
Dean?
Was a five. That was a five.
Yeah, I hear a lot of stuff.
That was a five, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible group of men and women that I put across that represents America. Now, this next, I want to bring Reggie. Are you there, Dr. Lee?
Yes. Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Okay, we're a little short on time, but tell people. I'm gonna explain to you who you are. ladies and gentlemen, for the past year, we've got to introduce virtual reality. This is really cool. The History Journal portals, the history of sport karate, a hologram that will kick your butt, a village. I mean, we've got the inventor, co-inventor, one of the inventors, an amazing man, a 9-3 black belt, a real doctor who saves lives every day, works in the hospital, Dr. Reginald Lee on the line. Reggie, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. I know you're limited in time.
Tell people a little bit what SetVR is about.
Yeah, I just want to let you know our breaking news. We are now moving forward toward creating multiplayer. And as of today, SetVR has been placed on a Steam platform whereby our SetVR app will be more accessible not only to Oculus Quest headsets but other virtual reality headsets as well. With SetVR, you will not be looking outside, looking into our program. With SetVR, self-defense enhancement training virtual reality, you will be actually immersed into a simulation program whereby a hologram will attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks. We've chosen a dark alleyway whereby bad things usually happen, where a hologram will suddenly appear into your personal space. And by appearing into your personal space, it will create an adrenaline effect. It's during this adrenaline surge, during a fight or flight mode, whereby one will normally lose clinically at least about 40 or 50% of what they have been taught, and whereby utilizing muscle memory or a reflex response would be your only and best recourse to engage and to neutralize. If SetVR can instill into you a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation a threat to save your life during an adrenaline surge, we believe SetVR has done its job. Proud to endorse and have Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior into our program in regards to him bringing on his program of his museum into virtual reality. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, can you say some few words about your vision about the museum in our virtual reality program?
Well, you know, the idea is that, and we've done this, we've introduced a core group of Mike Miller from Black Belt Magazine, Roy Kerman, George Mitchew, Chris Mitchew as a core group. And then every month we'll add a new History General to the SetVR.app so people can learn once they get beat up by the hologram, the history of sport karate. Now, Dr. Lee, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this. And you'll be there in October so people can actually try on the Oculus Quest and the platform. And we look forward to seeing you and Rich as we put you guys all across America in the past few years. So anyway, God bless you. And, you know, I'll got the Wolverine here. Wolverine, you there? Wolverine.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Wolverine. Okay, you got your time. Here we go, buddy. Here you go. Here's your question. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. How far does the Wolverine go before he would react physically?
Well, I see that just depends on who you are, what the situation is. You know, that's why I like to always keep mystified, mislead, and confused, and then, you know, throw a little dormer pile into that. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Wolverine binds stuff on a control bind, so, you know, I'm just, you know, it's not going to lash out and attack somebody, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying that, you know, if the opportunity arises, you know, it's probably best for people, you know, not push those buttons to find out. Just, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Well, Wolverine, I know there's some exciting things happening, and we're going to keep people guessing, but I want to see if Hansi Boa, are you still there, sir?
I am.
Yes. Hansi, I want to ask you, sir, how do you feel the general public perceptions of the martial arts has changed over the years? I want your opinion, sir.
Well, I think in many cases, you know, it depends. When I say depends, it's sort of
what are the environment that the people are coming to and what they see in their communities. And, you know, I think that, you know, just like with this show, you know, what is the perception if someone listens to our show? What is the perception of it? And my perception is based upon, you know, the action of the martial artists in their community. If I'm a martial artist and you know, it's just like as a minister, you know, if there are certain expectations of me, you know, as a minister and as a martial artist, you know, there are certain expectations. And that's the reason why, you know, someone asked me, well, how do you want to be remembered? Well, I want to be remembered as a person of integrity. You know, if you don't want truth, you probably shouldn't come to me. Because, you know, that's the thing. If people can now, martial artists carry themselves in that manner, and we can be as deadly as we want to be, but we don't have to be out, you know, flashing how deadly we are, then, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. How do we act? How do we dress? What we say? How do we say it? All those things build the perception. In many cases, it makes a difference in schools that survive and schools that fail.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I wanted to get your opinion because you're out there everywhere. And I know you're around a lot of people. You've seen a lot of changes. You've been involved with it for over 50 years. So thank you. Thank you so much for your opinion. And is Kim, you still on the air, honey? Kim Blake?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay. I want you to just say a couple of things about your son because, you know, we're running late on time, but we're playing the Legends name game. So tell me about Randy Blake.
Randy Blake is my son. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of God. He's a amazing father. He is a 5-time world champion kickboxer. He's a best-selling author, a friend. I love to see him grow daily. He has some amazing people that have come into his over the last few years, one being Angie Bowen, which I'm grateful for. Those are the highlights.
Well,
Randy Blake.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight and sharing your history. And we can't wait to see you in October and your new book. And, you know, give Randy a big old hug. And we'll look forward to seeing him, too. And we'll keep you informed of everything. And this is the year of the lady. So we get to say
thank you
in October to what you're doing for the martial arts and what you've done for the martial arts. And we appreciate you being first. I love that. And when's the last time you've seen Carlos Machado?
Yesterday via Zoom. I see him again in April.
When you see him next time, tell him that Professor Gary Lee sends his love because he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Thank you, Kim. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to the five. Thank you to our producer, Jesse Bowen. Thank you to Dr. Reginald Lee. Thank you to my dear co-host, and I mean that from the heart, Mr. Dean Piles and Master A.J. Perry. I love you guys. I really do. And we really mean this from the heart. We say it every week, and we mean it. Much mahalo. And aloha. Good night, everybody. Aloha.
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 Night, everybody.
Aloha. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Danata, hey.